Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray, come Jesus, come, let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. Turn this around. Deep down I know this world isn't home. Come Jesus, come. There'll be no war, and there'll be no chance when Jesus comes. Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this down, I know this world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. One day he'll come and we'll stand face to face. Come and lay. Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come.
Powerful name it is. gracious God, we thank you for your awesome, holy, tremendous word. Lord, we thank you that everything we need to know about salvation in your Son Jesus is found within the pages of this awesome and holy book. Lord, give us guidance today as we hear eyewitness accounts of a night that a storm came up quickly on the Sea of Galilee. Lord, we ask for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, eyewitness accounts given to Mark, the writer of this gospel. Here's what they told him about what happened that evening. That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the word of the Lord. So, evening came, and it seems like Jesus was maybe in the boat preaching to the people on shore. That's the picture that I get here. He's in the boat preaching to the people on shore, and Jesus, it was his idea, he decides to take his disciples and go across to the other side of the lake. It sounds like it wasn't just one boat, but multiple boats. So they all headed out across to the other side. It's interesting that it was Jesus' idea. Jesus knew what was coming. He knew what was coming. Sure, in his humanity, he knew that storms could come up quickly, but in his divinity, he certainly had foreknowledge that this was going to happen, that the wind and the waves were going to rise up in a tremendous way so that the boat might sink. It was his idea to bring them across. On their way across, a furious squall came up, and the waves started breaking over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Have you ever been out on a lake when the waves were so high that you thought that they were going to swamp the boat because they were coming over the front of the boat, into the boat? Sounds like a tremendously scary time. A few years ago, I was out with some friends on Lake Winnebago in my boat. We had just finished eating supper in Oshkosh, and we had to make our way back to Black Wolf Ramp, which is south of Oshkosh a ways. But we hadn't really been paying much attention. There was a big storm that was coming in, and it was coming in quickly. We hopped in the boat, and I went through the river there in Oshkosh a little faster than what you're supposed to. Most of the other boats were doing the same thing because they wanted to get out of there and get to where they needed to be. We got out on Lake Winnebago, and I didn't realize how big the boat in front of us was because they cast a huge wave that we kind of jumped. One of my friends was standing, you know, I was driving. One of my friends was standing up over here, and his mouth, like, came down on my shoulder, so we had a pretty big jump, and I made that boat go as fast as it could. Though the storm hadn't gotten there yet, so the waves hadn't started rising. But I probably had it at 40, 45 miles an hour. It was dark as could be. There was lightning crashing behind us, and we were hightailing it back as fast as we could. And we made it. We got the boat on the trailer just as it started downpouring on us. But it doesn't sound like they were fortunate here. The waves were already breaking over the boat. It was nearly swamped. You know, when I was on Winnebago, I was trying to act calm, but I was not calm. We were trying to get back as quickly as possible, and I did not have peace about the situation. I was thinking to myself, we should have just stayed at the restaurant, left the boat until this thing passed. Why did we take off like we did? We should have just waited. Like I said, thankfully we made it back. But the disciples, they were stuck. They were stuck out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. There's this violent storm that is looking like it's going to completely engulf them. And these, you know, some of the disciples, they were fishermen. They were fishermen. They've encountered storms before. But we know that all of the disciples had fear in them. I wonder if this was bigger and greater than other storms that they've experienced in the past. And in the middle of all of this, what is Jesus up to? Jesus had the idea to go out there, and the wind and the waves are crashing over, and what is Jesus doing? He's asleep on a cushion in the stern of the ship. Now, if you've got a bulletin on you, I would invite you to grab a little insert that I have. I have three different points that I want to highlight today about this text. Three different points, and if you have a pen with you, you can fill in the blanks, or there's little pencils in front of you too if you want to grab one of those little pencils, but you can fill this in as we go along if you'd like. And to get us started, I'm going to invite you to fill in the first one. The first one. Number one. Peace is not the absence of storms. Peace is not the absence of storms. We don't have to look any further than Jesus to see this. Our Savior, our King, he's in the middle of this storm, and what is he doing? He's asleep on a cushion in the stern of the boat. He shows us here physically peace while a storm storm rages around him. I think the Apostle Paul highlights this pretty well, what it means for us as Christians to have peace while the storm rages, because peace is not the absence of storms. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." We can look at the life of Paul and realize that he's not making this up. Paul had peace of Christ, even though he was actually shipwrecked four times. Actually shipwrecked. If, you know, reading through the New Testament, it looks like he was in prison because of his faith at least five or seven times. We know that Paul was beaten with rods because of his faith three times. We know that he was stoned once, and we know that he had 39 lashes five different times. Yet, when writing to the people in Philippi, the Christians there, in Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In the middle of Paul's issues and trouble and persecutions, he prays. And he receives the peace of Christ. What about peace for you? What about peace for you? Do you have to wait until everything is going right in your life before you can experience peace? Do you have to wait for the weekend in order to experience peace? Or do you have to wait for the next step before you experience peace? Or maybe you have to, you know, in your mind, you're like, I can't have peace until I finally make it on vacation. The news here is that we can have peace even in the middle of storms. It's the blessed, wonderful, joyful peace of Christ. Why? It's because Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, that we would experience forgiveness, all the joy, all the life, and all the peace he has to offer day by day, no matter what it is that's going on around us. Then, after this, Jesus' disciples woke him, saying, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" They're fearful, and the waves are crashing around them. They're afraid that this thing's going to sink. And this was long before the orange life jackets that we have to have in all of our boats. They're probably thinking that this might just be the end for them. There's no life preservers. There's no rescue boat. This is bad. So they wake Jesus up. "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And maybe they're wondering, why did he take us out here? And then out here in the middle of a storm, why does he have no regard for us at all? Don't you care? Don't you care, Jesus? How often do we think the same thing when we're in the middle of struggle and pain and suffering and trouble and sin? Don't you care, God, that I'm going through this right now? Why am I dealing with this? Why am I dealing with this trouble? Why am I dealing with this suffering? Why am I dealing with sickness or ruin or persecution or brokenness or sin? Why am I dealing with this? Don't you care, God? And in the middle of this, we too, like the disciples here, we are afraid. And we are confused about what's going on, and we are anxious about it. Now, this is the beautiful part of this section of Scripture. Certainly, these disciples, from our perspective, should have really understood who Jesus is, that he is God among them by this point. They should surely understand that, but they don't. They don't get it. And Jesus, being God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Blessed Trinity, Jesus being God, could have cast them aside for some better disciples because of their fear. But he doesn't do that with them. And we can be assured, too, that he won't do that to us either. This gets us to number two on our little sheet. Number two, fear does not disqualify you. Fear does not disqualify you. Here in this story, Jesus, he meets fear with his grace and his mercy. I think of a story a little bit later on where Jesus had just been arrested, and Peter goes to the place where Jesus is being held. And when he shows up there, some of the people seem to recognize him. And in that, he ends up denying Jesus three times because of his fear. But yet, because Jesus is full of grace and mercy, he ends up using this afraid, denying Peter to build his church. Jesus meets fear with grace and mercy. Jesus gives them a reminder. He says, here in the boat, he says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Confused, unsure, Jesus remains with them in their struggle, giving them gentle reminders. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? It's a reminder of another part of Scripture that I want to highlight this morning. It's this, that the Lord God goes with us. He will never leave you nor forsake you, even if you're not so sure about him in your struggles. And that joy and that peace will come from trusting him. From trusting him. All right, for our last point, we're going to step back and get a bigger picture view. A bigger picture view. So a little while ago, I talked about Father, Son, and Spirit. We have one God, three persons. And when we need peace, and when we're dealing with fear, we might wonder if God can truly be trusted with our stuff. And this gets us to point number three. Point number three, storms are not bigger than God. Storms are not bigger than God. We can go back to the Gospel of John, to the very first chapter, and we find out there who Jesus really is. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made." Through Jesus, all things were made. And we can go back even further. We can go to Genesis, where we read that God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and all was spoken into existence through God's Word. Our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the big picture view is that he is the creator and sustainer of all things. There is no storm of any kind that is bigger than God. Throughout the Old Testament, we can see this picture. If we go to the book of Daniel, we find Daniel rescued from a den of lions. Well, how come the lions didn't devour him? It's because God is in control of the lions. In another part of the Old Testament, we read about Jonah being stuck in a big fish or a whale, and then spit out of its mouth on dry land. How is this possible? It's because God is in control of the fish, too. Well, how about Noah and the ark? We have this massive flood that wipes out all of the evil of humanity. And we wonder, well, how did all this come about? And we're reminded that God is in charge of both the land and the sea, too. And here's the big picture we can have as Christians today, that Jesus reigns over every wave and every breeze and every storm. Jesus rules over all of it. There's no storm that's bigger than God. And when it comes to our lives, when it comes to the stuff we're dealing with, Jesus has the final word there also. Our lives, our salvation, are utterly in His power, His divine power. There's no action of men, there is no leader, there is nothing that is outside of His sovereign rule. Finally, the last part of this message, like I said, the disciples, they really still don't get who Jesus is. They will later, but they don't yet. And we find out that the disciples move from afraid to terrified. After Jesus stops the wind and the waves, they are terrified and they wonder, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obeyed Him. They're really not sure about what's going on here. They're still confused. They witnessed this miracle. They saw God's power at work, but they didn't have a real understanding yet about who Jesus really is. And we can come to a conclusion here. You know, not knowing Jesus for real, who He really is, not understanding His divine power, not standing with faith and trust in Him, will leave us looking for peace that rises and falls with the wind and the waves. Not knowing Jesus will leave us looking for peace that rises and falls with the wind and the waves. Rather, we are called to put our faith and trust in Jesus, focusing on God rather than the storms. And this will include worship and humility and obedience and reverence and faith. And we could go on and on and on with many words that could describe what it means for us to bow down to the Creator as creatures. Peace is not the absence of storms. Fear does not disqualify you, and storms are not bigger than God. Let us join together in prayer. Gracious God, we thank You for Your holy word today. Lord, we thank You about this gentle reminder that we need not fear, but we only look to You as both the author and finisher of our faith. Guide us this day in whatever it is we're dealing with. In Jesus' name, amen.